Hello and welcome to Inspired, your grown-up girl talk. I'm Stacey Fleece with my co-host Samantha Tredelius. And Samantha, we continue our venture through Women's Month. Women's History Month. I'm going to call it more like Women's Empowerment Month.
Just all women
All the
all the
things.
time.
I mean, we
Yes.
are kind of women's empowerment all year long, but March does hit different.
It sure does.
For us. And our guest today is really the top of the mountain of this adventure. I'm so excited to talk to her today because she's doing incredible things relative to women's empowerment and women's equality and success and all that. So let's get right to it. We have with us Geeta Sidhu Rob. And Geeta, thank you so much for joining us. You are amazing, first of all, and you're gorgeous, by the
Thank you, and no, but yes, I'll take
way.
that.
And you're in the UK, yes?
I am, yeah, I'm in London.
I
This
love
is
it. The Inspired International version.
I love
Yeah.
it.
Yeah, the international episode. So, Geeta, you, like so many women, have had a very meandering journey in your career. You've got some great things coming up that are launching that we will get to, but I want to go back a little bit because what you've done earlier in your career has really led you to this point of today and this month and what you're launching this month. So, back to lawyer early life, like previous life, previous Gita was a lawyer, and then you launched Nosh Detox almost what to almost 20 years, not quite 15 years ago, 16 years ago, as a result of one of your children having severe food allergies. Yeah.
So thank you very much for having me. And yes, meandering is a bloody good word for what happened to me in life. So yeah, I did set up Nosh. I want to say that I set up Nosh because I when my son was he was ill from a very young age, but I had gone on and had two more children. And when I walked out of that marriage, we had built a very big company together. And I had my private plane in my home in Monaco and my Ferrari with a roof and my Ferrari without a roof because you need both apparently. And as I came, I left, it was a very violent, abusive marriage. And I walked out with the three kids and he emptied all our bank accounts. And so we ended up from this lifestyle to being homeless, sleeping on my friend's floor. And the kids were on the bed. The baby was on the floor next to me because she couldn't fall off. And then I was there as well on sofa cushions because we had nowhere to go. And
I'm
I think
just
it's
going to
very
say, if you had a minivan instead of a Ferrari, you might have had a place to sleep.
Hey
That's
now.
all I'm going to say.
I'm with
Sorry.
you on that, but then he would have taken that too.
100%.
So,
So
but that
we're
would
on
have
the
been more
couch.
entertaining. But yeah. So I
Fair.
should have had it for I'm going to look into the minivan thing, but we're not going to do that again because we did that meander and we're done and we kind of signed off and sent that off.
I feel like that's a whole nother episode because that's a lot right there.
I always say it because when you look at someone that looks and sounds like me, you don't think this ever happened. And
Yep.
so any woman that goes out there and thinks this happened to her because it was her fault, it's not. It's not your fault and you're not stuck there and this is not the only thing that's ever going to happen to your whole life because, I'm proof of that. And so that's
You are
why
the queen of not being victim, and thank you for that.
I just think it's really important because women get blamed for a lot of this shit and we get shamed for it. And I don't want any of that shit to happen. And we're not doing that. So I'm really clear about that's where we came from. And then I didn't know how to make, I had to make money like really stat. And then he bankrupted me because all our finances were together. That's another story. And so what happened was that I ended up using, couldn't keep my job as a lawyer because not much call for bankrupt, poor, homeless corporate lawyers. As it were. And so I became a corporate strategist, which meant that people would fly me out to negotiate deals for them. And, never pick on somebody, always bet on the woman that's got poor, hungry kids sitting at home that are sick. So I used to charge them a lot of money to get the deal done very quickly and less money the longer I was there. So I did a lot of that and I would fly in and there was a problem and there was a man with a machine gun and a beard and whatever. And they were like, go fix this. And it was in Belarus and it was in Kazakhstan and Moscow and wherever.
But you
So
were
I flew
going all
to
the
Saudi
safe
Arabia,
places.
very safe places of the world. Saudi Arabia, I would walk into places and think, shit, I'm never coming out alive. Have they paid me? I would check if they paid me before I walked in the door. And so that took me through. And I was like, I can't keep doing this. Something could happen and I'd never be back home. And I was like, all right, what do I know how to do? I know how to fix anyone's body. Got it. And that's how Nosh came about. And so I just say that because that there's probably some people set up businesses because they were like, here's my business plan. I wish I lied to the bank. I got a £2,000 overdraft because that was the only overdraft available to bankrupt poor me. And I set up a company and then I sold like shit because I couldn't work out how to get a loan or nobody would give me one. And that was the next kind of 12 years. Gwyneth Paltrow came in as a client, one of our first clients.
Can we just say how did that happen?
Yeah, how did you swing that?
I honestly could not tell you. I'm going to frustrate the fuck out of you because I have no idea where this woman
Yeah, came. Because the bankrupt lawyer who's negotiating deals in over machine guns and then decides
and I then Gwyneth
body and Gwyneth walks in.
I think it's because we were the only game in town. Nobody did what I was doing. Nobody was delivering food that was gluten and dairy free around. And I delivered food that my son could eat because I figured there must be other people like him, right? So I did that. I invented here in the UK. I made juice fasts and delivered them. Nobody had done them before. I created cold press juices. I created IV drips. And every one of them came off a need. And so I think it was, I honestly cannot tell you. I think it's because we were the only game in town. I did not know she was a client till this deeply terrifying woman rang me and said, hello, can I speak to the owner? And I'm like, that's me. Is there something?
Am I about to get yelled at? Like,
is there something wrong? Because if it is, it's not me. I'm like, I'll go find her for you. And she said, well, Gwyneth Paltrow just said you're her favorite detox.
Whoa. Whoa.
Could you say that again and I'll record it, take down the website and just shove that? And she
hell yeah.
She'd know. She was British. She was not doing that. She was terrifying. And so she named us as her favorite detox. God bless the woman. And then all of Hollywood wandered through. And I had no idea who any of them were. So that really helped because they were like, do you do discounts for famous people? I'm like, I don't know. Are you famous? And they're like, yeah. My name. We had Mel B, Mel C. We had... we never did Victoria Beckham. I mean, oh, I don't even know what to tell you. Simon Cowell, we had Royals. We had all the, I just don't know. They just came through the door. Nadia Swarovski, Jessica Rothschild. Anyway, people, you know?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Say again?
I said Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, yeah, Gwyneth definitely Paltrow. But how amazing to go from sleeping on cushions on the floor to having nothing to now you've built this incredible company that you've got a following of celebrities, which, you know, as we know, when they're into something, it's like rapid, it's like light a match on fire and a poof, it goes. We just talked to Franny Goldie, which had a similar situation with like Oprah. Oprah liked one of her products and it just took off. And so, I mean, I'm sure you had to go from, you know, normal production to just a whole nother level of production quickly.
Yeah, we did. And then we had to work out, people would come in and go fix this for me. And I'm like, you're not fat. You're not overweight. You're not any of those things. I'm like, do you want me to cut your nails? You lose weight that way. I'm looking at these utterly mad women that are exquisite. And they were like, you know, we did the whole of St. Trinian's women. The cast had to go naked. And they came in. They're like, fix us. And I'm like, seriously? And they're like, we have 6 weeks to be naked on camera. And I was like, oh my God. So you got really weird and wonderful shit happened. And that was just, that was what it was. Yeah.
And then you took that and turned it into a whole health wellness coaching.
Well, that was by accident because we had a woman came in and she was, all of it was by accident. She came in and said, I'm really unhappy, sick, whatever it was. And it turned out she wasn't any of those things. She was pissed off. And she was pissed off because I can't tell the story clearly enough so you can identify who it is because she's super famous. She was, let's have an argument that you are a very famous family and you are the only girl born of your generation and nobody will let you have any power. Right? How annoyed would you be? Well, this chick was
pissed. I think pissed off describes all of womankind in March every year, especially, right? Exactly. Don't we get angry? I get kind of angry.
I think we get angry and I think we're starting to put our foot down and go, enough is enough. So it's one of those things where, you know, I think we're awakening our tentacles a little bit.
Channel it.
Communications.
Yeah.
Channel it.
So we helped her get on the board of her business. And I'm like, can I please work on this? Because this is going to make you feel better. It took her 9 months. And then she had dossiers this big on everybody else on the board. So she was terrifying. But that's another story. And then that's how coaching started. And I didn't know that's what it was because Americans get coaching. And in the UK, it wasn't a thing. And so that's how coaching started.
Americans get coaching, and in the UK, it's warm beer in a pub, right? Yeah. Over a conversation. It's kind of the same thing.
Similar, similar.
It's
so now you've taken, and we just had this discussion, and I've said this like 9 times, but I think it really applies to you, is how, you know, we as women are always taught to leave our bullshit at the door and walk in as this, you know, put together package when we enter in the workplace and we enter in these different spaces. And you're kind of bringing in all of that, you know, all of the hardship, but all of the growth. And now you're bringing it into this new thing that you're doing, which we're really excited to talk about today. So tell us about what you're doing now. What's upcoming?
I'm so grateful to you guys. Thank you. The so what happened is that last year I was listening to our very own Jeffrey Epstein. There was a guy here who was sued for sexual assault, and they tried for years to get this guy to court, and it never worked. He kept getting a little tap on the wrist and being sent home to be nice and don't put drugs in women's drinks because they don't like it. They're like, asshole. And I remember reading the court filings because I'm a lawyer, and I remember reading this thing where the women on the top floor receptionist said, when he starts to go downstairs, we would ring the ground floor receptionist and tell her to get behind a locked door when he hit downstairs before he left. And I don't know what to tell you. There was a part of my brain that never went back to the same place. Because we know as women what that says to about these women. They're stuck. They don't have any choice. They have no one to complain to. And they're terrorized by this asshole because, you know, they're fucked. Sorry.
But they feel like they have no options.
They have no option. And I was like, how dare somebody do this? They wouldn't do it to you or to me. They're doing it to women. And I've done leadership coaching for the last 12 years. And I've, like, there have been 20 women that done IPOs. I've coached 4 of them. There are NASDAQ chairs. There are 19 of them. I've coached 3. There are Fortune 5. I've coached senior women, like it's coming out of my ears.
It's those, the total difference. Numbers, by the way, suck. I'm just going to say that. Your percentage of it is great. The total numbers that you're, the 12 and the 19 suck. But the,
imagine that I know those numbers because they're so small.
Yeah.
It's so bad. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, there has to be something I can do different. The universe, and I was like happily making money, and the universe hit me upside the head and went, bitch, get on with this stuff. I was like, I'm really good over here. And it was like, no, we're not doing that. So the 2nd of January, I filled out a form and they said, what do you do? And I said, I'm CEO and founder of W Corp. So where this came from is every time I do a press interview or something, they were like, are you a feminist? And I'm like, I mean, I appreciate it, but it kind of feels old.
What does that mean anymore?
Do you know what
does that mean?
I don't know. I'm like, I'm a womanist. What I do is I love women. I care about women. I look after women. That's what I care about. And so I came up with this concept where I came up with W Corp because I was like, DEI brings us in the door. Mm-hmm. But when you're in the door, women walk out of business again and again and again and again because they can't survive. And the reason they can't survive is because women have very distinct life stages. We 100% of us go through. And organizations, our infrastructure is not built for anything like that. It's built for you to leave your home life at home, come to work between 9 and 5 or 8 and 4, and then go home. Women's lives don't work like that. Civilization would die if we did that. It doesn't work like that. So what we need in order to create a level playing field is to have a level playing field that encompasses those life changes within it. And if it does that, that's a level playing field. So what we do is we tell corporations how to become a level playing field, incorporating all of women's changes so that they understand that as an infrastructure choice. And that there helps women to stay at work. Not just get hired and run away after 5 years.
Is in your experience, is DEI a bunch of bullshit lip service? Does it look pretty on paper? And is anyone really doing any of the work?
You know, when I started this, I asked as many people as I work with, I asked them, what's your DEI policy? Ask me how many people knew.
Zero.
None.
I'm rounding.
Zero. Good one. I like that. I'm using that. I'm totally using that. No one knew. It's a very masculine approach. It's a form filling exercise. Let's get all the implementation. Let's get them in. Tick, 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 tick. Now, I can tick till the cows come home and learn nothing from it. But I've met my quotas. So as a brown person, I look at DEI and I can't bear it. It's patronizing. It's stupid. And it annoys the shit out of me. But if you bring more brown people into work, I guess that's got to be better than nothing. But you bring this. It's like when we were growing up. Like now I hear them saying there just aren't enough women to do these jobs. When we were growing up, they're like, there's just not enough brown people to do this. I'm like, oh, if only there were more brown people in the world or with a fucking education. So, you know, you get that shit again and again and again. And I'm like, okay, enough. I have turned finally in this ripe age into a one-trick pony. I am committed to making infrastructure adapt to the needs of women. Let me tell you another story. A man comes to me and I work with this massive global company. He comes to me and he goes, listen, I'm losing authority. I have come from Korea. Was he Japanese? Korean? He said, I've come to, let's pick France as a thing. Half the stuff, my NDAs. I've come to France and I'm talking to these people. And because my French is so terrible, I have no authority over this 1200 people department because they laugh at me when I speak French. And he's like, I don't know what to do. I was like, well, okay, let's try it. Make everybody speak English. He went, what do you mean? I'm like, how's your English? He said, great. I'm like, fantastic. Make them speak English. He goes, all of them? I'm like, all of them.
And he Problem came back, solved.
Literally. Why? Because they're now have such acute levels of discomfort. It's not his bloody problem anymore. But now you have a level playing field. Mm-hmm. What if we have never asked for what we needed? What if we have just tried too hard to adapt? What if we have just been nice, kind, loving women and gone, I'll do my best. Hang on, hold a moment and I'll do more than my best. What if nobody knows that? And what if this isn't a war between men and women? What if the friggin' infrastructure needs its ass kicked so that it adapts so that we can speak the right language?
It's like, I'm speechless. I'm just like enamored with you, Gita. I'm like, this is what we need to be talking about. And it's an overwhelming concept because it feels like it's so simple, but yet it's so fucking difficult because there's so much resistance because change is hard. And, you know, a lot of these, you know, C-level folks, they don't want to be held accountable for making these changes happen.
So we're doing it differently. We're doing it, and although I can be highly combative, I am staying very in my female power and I'm very powerful these days. And I really like that about myself. And I bring that power to these conversations. And what I do is I say, I need the CEO and I need whoever's doing DEI and whatever. And then we take them through. We have 96,000 women's data points. Right. And we use those to create our conversation. And we just take them through an hour's conversation. And in that hour, we hit, how do you help women get promoted? Because they won't do it themselves. How do you get women to attract and apply for the job? Because they won't do it unless, you know, we have all these statistics. And we hit every single one of those things. And they're like, why do you need to do that? How does that work? And you just explain it. And you explain. And there's always going to be somebody that goes, oh, we don't need that. And you're like, well, shag off and we'll get you later because you will come around. And then we take them through it. And that mindset shift, we tell them, here's the percentage point of the likelihood you're going to retain your female talent you've invested in. So we don't make it about them.
Right. And what is the, you know, success factor when these folks, you know, subscribe to what it is you're saying? I think it's 100% success, right? Because they're getting what they want. They're getting happy, you know, work environments that are, you know, retaining the talent that they want to attain. I would assume. And then the next question I have is, how long does it take a normal company to get, you know, on the right playing field? Like, once this conversation starts, I mean, are these immediate changes that are happening, or is this a year, 6 month, 10 year plan for a lot of these firms?
What we're trying to do is a feminine approach certification instead of a form filling exercise. So we don't sit there and say, fill out forms. What we say is, we want to understand the mindset behind why you've made these decisions. And do you understand that there's a different mindset at play? So we go through, and then they will, and if there's a, so you do go in phase one, two, or three. Smaller businesses, you can do it in one phase. You have a conversation. If I certified you guys, you'd have a conversation. I mean, you'd obviously win because you're women. You know, it's amazing amounts of data.
We're already winning.
Women are getting 95 to 100% pass rates because they already set their businesses up the way they need them run, which is the really intelligent part of this, right? But no one else knows that. They just think we have cute businesses we run from home.
How do we get companies to embrace this? I mean, this is kind of novel. Instead of having the women mold to the company, you're asking the company and the infrastructure of the company to mold to the life cycle of the women, essentially, to level that playing field. How do we keep that from being the lip service bullshit that DEI has turned into?
So the only thing we can do is tell them the problem, explain why it's a problem, have them commit to changing that problem, and then keeping with them for the year. That's what we do. We become their trusted advisors for a year to make sure that that's working. Now, so you can't do more than that. But the thing is, the more you have this conversation, the more we have these conversations, people honestly don't even know this is a problem. That's why they came up with DEI, because they don't know. If you look at how stupidly simple this is, It's so simple. But actually, men complain that women get too much attention and they get to take time off and everything. But our level playing field is not theirs. So actually, we can do this side by side with men, with allyship, instead of having to screw with a man's life to get what it is that we want. We're not doing any of those things in here. So there's less barriers to entry.
And I want to talk about some of the statistics you've thrown out on this, because honestly, any company that hears these statistics should want to jump both feet into the deep end on this.
100%.
Companies with higher gender diversity on executive teams are 25% more likely to have above average profitability.
Right.
The companies with highest representation of women on boards financially outperform those with the lowest by 66%. And companies with at least 30% female leaders had innovation revenue 15% higher. You have said that gender equality is a $12 trillion economic opportunity. What does that mean? Explain that.
It means that if you look at what happens when you bring diverse view, like look at what you guys are doing here. We have completely different diverse viewpoints, right? I'm British, I'm over here. I'm not a white woman, I'm a brown woman. I do this job instead of that job. There is a viewpoint I'm bringing that will actually expose you to thoughts that you've never had before, which you can then like or not like. But you're never going to forget them once you understand them, right? So what we're saying is that diversity creates more money. It creates growth. It creates expansion. That is impossible to refute when you look at even a basic conversation. Imagine now that you have people that you've invested in, put in your business. They're always going to say to you, but I don't want to look at it like that. How about if you looked at it like this? Because their experience is not, their lived experience is 100% different to yours.
I think it's, and it's really interesting when you look at Stacey and I, and our careers are both in the financial industry, and it's predominantly, you know, male. And they'll be like, well, we're, you know, we're putting more women in these roles. And then you look at the roles that they're at, they're like, you know, high level admin support. And you're like, why are they not at the board seat? You know, and, or why is there just the one token, you know, woman of color at this, you know, table?
And the woman in charge is always like, and I mean, no offense to these jobs because they're very, very important, but the woman in charge is always VP of ops or VP of HR.
Yeah.
Notice. Like,
and there are studies that show, so every single number I've put here is backed up by a study, right? But there are also studies that show over 70% of CEOs come through CFO positions. Hmm. But CFOs, only 17% are female.
Which is ridiculous. And women are fully capable and able to do the job. We, Stacey and I just went to a Women's Day event last week, and it was in the automotive space. And we were floored to learn that 91% of that industry is still very male.
Well, and people will say to you things that I've heard, which they say, women just never stay. You know, I think they just get lured away by somebody paying them more. And I'm like, no, they get lured away because you're an asshole. I'm not sure you worked that out yet, but that's why you're
lured away. I mean, there's that.
So let's just boil it down, boys.
So actually, can we take it away from male versus female?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to organizational infrastructure.
Yes.
We can shift infrastructure and make infrastructure work. And we know we can because the frigging pandemic forced us to. So let's not pretend we can't do that shit. We 100% can do that stuff. And if we can do that and thrive, and companies grew like crazy in the pandemic, we can do that. We can thrive. We can make more money. Let's do it.
So tell us about W Corp's launch relative to this 68th session of the UN Commission on the Status of Women, which started, as we record this, started yesterday, correct?
It did, but the nausea. So what happened is the universe said to me when I started W Corp, the universe said, do you want fries with that? And said,
and
would
you
like
to give me a large.
I was like, eh? And so this lovely woman, absolutely adore the bloody woman, had never met her before. She said, what are you doing on this particular date? And I'm British. And I was like, I'm not a lot. And she's like, well, send this email. And I didn't send this email because I'm British. This chick literally, she's lovely. She's American. She smacked me across my head and went, send your headshot, send your bio now. And I found myself on a list to speak at the UN. So I was like, it's not real. Wait till the press release comes out. Draft press release came out. I'm like, it's just not real. Wait till the real press release came out. Let me tell you, ladies, my head was down in between my knees trying to hyperventilate.
Whoa. Because I couldn't. Whoa.
So this is happening next week. This is happening.
I am speaking at the UN next.
Fuck, girl.
Holy
come
shit.
On.
That's a big deal.
What am I going to wear?
What are you going to wear?
I don't know. And I was like reaching out to people going, does anyone want to dress me? I miss being famous. Cause then people would send you bloody clothing, you know? But now I'm like, oh, okay. And the children are like, we'll find you something. That's so traumatizing. But yeah.
Yeah,
I don't.
don't let your children dress you.
No, 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 no. We're not planning on it. But yeah. So that's what I'm doing. I have no way to explain to you how that's gonna go. Slightly terrifying.
You have the best conversations with the universe. Like, you have the best BFF. I don't know
I
how you and the
know.
universe got tight, but I need to open up some of these
Like
channels.
you're making big moves. I mean, the moves you're making are impacting and really change. They're doing things. You're not just sitting here talking about, you know, making change. Like you're disrupting the
No.
environment in all the right ways.
And that is 100% my job. Well-behaved women rarely make history. I'm deeply ill-behaved. That's my goal. And I said my hit list was I wanted to speak at the UN and I wanted to speak at Davos. So the UN came so fast, I didn't know what to do with myself.
Davos
And
is up next.
today somebody invited me to Davos in
Come
January.
on.
I
Stop
promise you.
it.
I Gosh,
promise you.
you need to
Do
go
you
buy a
have a
lottery
vision board?
ticket.
Do you have a vision board? Do you put this shit on a vision board?
Yeah.
Is it just a in your head vision board?
I work really hard because when we ended up homeless, I was like, okay, whatever happened here, never again, right? It's like saying whoever's in charge, never again. Are we all listening? So I got this poor stupid book that I have, which is going to fall apart in a minute. And I have these things, and what I do is I put a line down the middle, and on the left I write what I'm going to do, and on the right I write what the universe is going to do for me. And I do that, and then the universe says, "Do you want fries with that?" And then the UN comes, and then you feel
I
really
love
safe.
this.
This is incredible. And I want to also talk about the board of directors and the high level folks that you've got involved with this endeavor, because those are some big heavy hitters.
Isn't it cool? I'm really
Yes.
excited. And they're like, what do we need to do? I'm like, nothing. We just need to survive next week. They're like, you sure? I'm like, just survive next week. It's just like, yeah. So I honestly, I would love to tell you that there was some massive grand plan. I'm just so bloody minded that I'm not going away. And I think if
That's
you hang about long enough, things happen, right?
it's making the noise and getting the message out, and then we affect change that way. So
Yeah.
we're just two gals sitting in San Francisco, doing our thing. What can we do to have a level of impact in what you're trying to accomplish?
To help me or your impact?
Just yeah, to help the movement.
Oh my God. If you can think of organizations that will come forward to be certified, I think this is the way I think we need to look at it is as a land grab. We need to look at it that the number of women with there, so we've done it very clearly that we are on understanding that like the fee structure is built, understanding that majority of women's businesses don't go past 300,000 turnover in a year, and they very rarely hit a million. So we've done like our certification fees for up to 500,000 is $250. We've done it so that women can come in and own this space and decide how what they want to do with it and how they want to do with it. So on one side we've got W Corp, on the other side we've got WCOM. It's a community which is $1 a month, and we're getting as many women as we know to put up their resources up there, and they can help other women in the world to learn from them. So we've got a million women that we're onboarding from Kenya, Rwanda, Zambia, East Africa. We've got 10,000 women coming on from Mumbai, and I don't know, some number from, I try not to think about it because it just scares me. And so what I want everyone to do is come and tell us that you have something interesting to say. We'll put you on the platform and we'll put you in front of these women. Give us your resources to give. We have a woman in Kenya teaching a woman in Mumbai at the moment how to grow her business. That to me is amazing. Why would we not create one global platform and shove everything we have on it and everybody can help everyone, right? That's kind of my job, I think, is to just yeah, and everybody else goes and does all the amazing stuff. And so send me people that we can certify. You know, we have five, six, seven American companies, and I love American women more than anybody in the world because y'all just kick ass and take no prisoners. So I'm a huge fan.
We love you too.
We
Yeah.
love you so much. And I am just, like I said, I'm like, normally I'm just the talk of yapperoo, and I've just been absorbing and listening because I find you to be such a fascinating, just motivating woman with everything that you're doing and furthering the mission and the movement for fellow women all over the globe. So thank you for joining us today, Geeta. We will put all of your info in our show notes, and we are definitely going to keep an eye on you. We hope that everyone out there for the rest of the month is inspired.